Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to go to heaven. We know all of our blessings are in spiritual places, which is heaven. All is spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We don't have anything, and we're not going to leave anything down here on earth. We just thank you for the plan before the ages. Thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ into this world to die for us people who deserve hell. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Joe, Val, thanks y'all for coming back, man. What we're going to do is bring you up to where we were at last week. We were studying Ephesians chapter 2. You missed so many verses there, Joe, but you may know. But anyway, what I want to talk to you about is Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to continue from where we're at. I'm going to back up just a little bit and tell you, salvation is a gift. Is that right?
Amen.
It is. What does Romans 6:23 say? For the gift of God, what? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what is it, Ephesians? We'll read it again here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did I get that right, Trish?
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
I thought I said that.
You said chapter 8 and 9.
What does that?
It said chapter 8 and 9.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, that goes to show you know what you're doing. I like that. I like it. It's not a works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation now, guys, is the result of who?
Christ.
It's the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thing that you helped him with, and you can't help him. He did all the work of our salvation. All of it. People just want to help him. Is it a done deal? It's a done deal. Is it finished? It's finished.
Amen.
It's done. It's over. You can't add anything to it, and you can't diminish anything or take anything back from it. What he did at Calvary, at the cross, Golgotha. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, to wit, that God, and this is very important, it's God sent his Son into this world, but it was God that was in Christ, reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's us. The whole world right now, even the Muslims and any and everybody else, even your neighbor you don't particularly care for, the one that run over your cat, those kind of things. Who was our sins imputed to?
Jesus Christ.
God made him to be sin for us. Christ is the one who suffered the death of the cross. We didn't. But in Romans 6, it tells you something. What does it tell you? We're baptized into the baptism of death with him. Judicially, we died on the cross. He took our place is what he did. The cross is for who? Sinners. People who deserve death. I can't remember really, and I shouldn't even bring it up since I can't, but some of you may know, there was the mention of the crucifixion somewhere in the scripture, probably 400 years before they were using crosses. Do you know anybody know where they said? Well, we'll look it up sometime. But it was Christ who went to the cross. It was Christ who suffered. It was Christ who bled. That's the big deal. You know, when you have just a service on the sufferings of Jesus Christ and what happened, as we do on the day that he was crucified, that's a teary situation. But unlike Peter, who tried to stop the crucifixion because he did not know Jesus Christ was dying for the sins of the world, we glory in it. You know, I've thought about that a lot. Many years ago, I used to feel guilty about me feeling the way I did. I glory in the death of Jesus. It has to be that way. Jesus Christ died for who? The ungodly. And something bigger than that. You might say, well, what can be bigger than ungodly? The enemies of God. Can you imagine when you were born, you came out of your mother's womb, you were an enemy of God. And who was the number one enemy? Paul. Paul. He had to save Paul. Because my gosh, look what Paul was doing. He was creating havoc over the whole little flock. The church at Jerusalem and so forth. Now, so what's left up for us to do is exactly, I'm talking about people who are unsaved in here. and whoever's listening, what's left for us to do is exactly what the Ephesians did. These Ephesians now, look, the Ephesians that we're talking about in the book of Ephesians, they're saved people. It's a past tense when you're going to read that. They had already done it. What is that? Trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation and their salvation alone. In Acts 16:31, he says, the Philippian jailer asked Paul, and he says, sirs, Paul and Silas, they were locked up, remember? He said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, that won't get anybody saved. But that's what he said. They had to go in and expand and expound upon what that was. That Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of sin. That he was, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected again on the third day for what?
Justification.
Now, this is off track a little bit. I'm going to ask you something. What is the gospel of the grace of God? Is that Christ was crucified, buried, for the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's the key here. Buried and rose again from the dead. That right there is the gospel whereby you are saved, because Paul said it. And he said it in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now, what's the difference between justification and forgiveness?
Well, it's completely. You're completely.
As if you never sinned before.
Well, see, it tells you, the Bible does, it tells you that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for your justification. He only died for your sins. Died for sins, we're talking about past and present and future sins. If you understand that Jesus Christ, God through Christ, forgive you of all your sins. The reason I write justification up here is because people don't quite understand what forgiveness is. Now they'll understand what justification is. So I simply, justification is not in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. If it is, tell me. Is it?
No.
But it's in the Bible, and I don't have to go to more than one place to be saved. That's 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. I want to emphasize it again. I always write justification here, particularly if you of your sin. But see, there was a guy up in North Alabama that split off from everybody because he says, well, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 is not the full gospel. It is. But to help you better understand it,
all right,
you're justified.
Right.
Well, look, he died for your sins. But he wasn't out of the ground at that point in time. Now, we know what took place in the center of the earth. He was circumcised, according to Colossians, I think it's 1:14. I think it's right there. 12. He was circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. God cut those sins off of him. And as Richard always likes to say, they're as far from the east as they are from the west concerning us. We don't have any sin. That's our position in Christ. So, but he still wasn't raised from the dead. He was raised for your justification. But justification shows complete forgiveness, that God did circumcise and cut those sins off of him, or he couldn't have not been resurrected. Because what did he do? He told him, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to the Father. I've got to go up and be glorified and where I had glory before. So he goes up, he gets glorified, gets his glorified body, comes back down, and everything is where we're at. But I just thought that's an important thing. I just wanted to address it. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Now, we covered some of this last week, but we're starting new today on covering it. And it says, wherefore, remember that you, the YE we got up here, is plural. If it was singular, it would say thee or thou. It's ye. You're talking about ye Ephesians. And in essence, he's talking about us because we're like the Ephesians. we were strangers from the covenants. We will read it in a minute. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, when was that? Time past. You were without Christ. Yes, we were. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We had no hope. These Ephesians had no hope. Remember, I've explained this before. Paul never ever taught these Ephesians. Paul taught the people in the synagogues of Ephesus, the Jews and the Greeks. What did he teach them? The gospel of Christ. He never taught these people he's writing a letter to. Notice that he says, in time past, these people, this group of people named in Ephesians 1:13, were without Christ. And I keep going back there. We're going to talk a little bit again about Ephesians 1:12 and Ephesians 1:13. This is the people in Ephesians 1:13. That's the key. But why were they without Christ? Was it simply that they were just lost sinners? No. No. It's because they, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, people have a problem. Look, and so did I. Most everybody does until someone explains it to you. Hopefully, explicitly explains it to you. That Paul was saved here. The nation of Israel fell in Acts chapter 7 when they stoned Stephen. The acceptable year of the Lord, the additional year out of Luke 13, I believe it is, they fell. But they didn't just drop off automatically. They fell. Paul comes on the scene, the chiefest of sinners, the Bible says. They start diminishing. This gospel is being preached at the same time, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So this is expanding here, but the diminishing line is the Jew and the Greek. It's the remnant of Romans 11, 5, I believe it is, 5 or 7. And when that remnant was picked up for the Lord, remnant by the election of grace, then the middle wall was ripped out. We're going to talk about that. But this came to an apex. It came to an end. And it will start back. Because I know what Matthew 24:14 says, that this gospel being preached right here will be preached again right here. There's no more grace after this dispensation of the grace of God. It's over. I mean, there's going to be some sorrowful people that's left here. And I don't care what Tim LaHaye and Tommy Ice, I don't know if you know who they are, but I don't care what they say. You will never, ever have another opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people in this room and people who are listening to this, whether it's recorded 5 years from now or what. Because you will be, according to Thessalonians, you will be sent a strong delusion to believe a lie, and the lie is the Antichrist. Now, but there's going to be some people left here, such, and I hate to say for you, such as people like us who have heard this message today. They will never get another opportunity. They will believe a lie. But there's other people that has never heard the gospel of the grace of God. They've always been taught that. They will have an opportunity. Because they've never heard the truth. So they can make a decision to choose or reject the gospel. But if you've heard it, and everybody in this room has heard it, if you don't trust the gospel of the grace of God, or you haven't, you're going to drop off in hell. I mean, that's just as plainly and as innocently as I can say it, and kindly, you know. I mean, I could jump up here and holler fire and brimstone, which I might later, but not right this minute. But I just wanted you to see, that's what we're dealing with. In Ephesians 1:13, we talked about why they were without Christ. It wasn't because they were still sinners. Of course, that's true. But it's because they were strangers from and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, they weren't aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They weren't. In fact, they were Jews, Jewish proselytes, and Gentiles who feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the key. They were in the covenants of promise, okay? And it talks about the we who first trusted Christ. The we who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians 1:12 is talking about the people in the pre-prison epistles during the book of Acts. That's what it's talking about. And I told you who they were. They were associated with Israel. They were not aliens from Israel. Now, I want you to see what the Galatians say. You've got to understand what the Acts ministry is and who it's to. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. And you've got a lot of grace people out here that messed this up. In Galatians 3, 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now you are not the children of Abraham. Never have been and never will be. Well, I just read that we are. You're not. Who was he talking to? The Romans, the Corinthians, the Thessalonians, and the Galatians. People in the covenants of promise. You were not there. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, okay? I'm going to tell you something. Paul never, ever tells the Ephesians, to whom he wrote this letter here, that they are the children of Abraham. Never. Because we're not. Abraham, listen, is not even mentioned in this epistle of Ephesians, nor any of the prison epistles. And I've got it listed over there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy, etc. And what, Philemon. Abraham is not in the prison epistles. Well, if we were in the covenants of promise, don't you think Abraham would have been mentioned? Because we're the new people here who were strangers, but now we're in the same body. What do you think that we would be called, we would call Abraham our father? I would. But we're not. That was the people in the covenants of promise. Okay, I want you to see that. They called him Father Abraham. And he tells you, and this, you got to see the difference. You wonder why you've got the pre-prison epistles and the prison epistles. Because in Romans, in chapter 4, verse 16, you ain't got to go there. Listen, Abraham is written in there, Paul wrote it, that Abraham is the father of us all. All who? It ain't you. It's all those in the prison epistles. I mean, the pre-prison epistles. The pre-prison epistles is who it's talking about. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians. That's who he's talking about. Where did you find it? You found it in Romans.
So, to the promise, didn't even know who Abraham was.
They could have cared less.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? They could have cared less, man. Now listen, in verse 8 of the same chapter, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now that's Genesis 12:3. What is the gospel to Abraham that was preached? God preached it to him. The good news, the gospel, is that in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, that's not inclusive of us. Why? We're going to get to something here in a minute. You're going to say, oh my God. Believe me. Now, if the Old Testament scripture foresaw the justification of the Ephesians, then there's a problem in Ephesians chapter 3. You see what I'm saying? Yes, there's a problem here. We're going to go over and look at it. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. This is why the Old Testament did not see foresee the justification of the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, Paul writes, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace. I want you to remember. This grace given that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Now, he's very specific with this, that he should preach something that was unsearchable. Well, that means it's not in the Old Testament. Now, if it's unsearchable, it's past finding out. It's untraceable. It's untrackable. Why? Because it's not in the Bible. This grace is what we're talking about. We just read it in Ephesians 3:8. This grace is unsearchable.
That's why it's a mystery.
Nothing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John about the salvation of these ungodly Gentiles. Nothing. We know what Matthew 15 talks about, and that woman from Canaan. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She blessed the seed of Abraham. That's why Jesus Christ. Remember what the disciples, those 12 apostles, told her? Told Jesus, you can get rid of her, she's bothering us. She was a Gentile. But she was a Gentile dog. A pet dog, I call it. That's not in the scriptures, but that's what I call it. She was a... Now, he said, go not in the way, in Matthew 10:5, go not in the way of the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's not a soul in here that's the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go in the way of the Gentiles. And at that point in time, look, he wasn't talking about us. He was talking about those in the covenants of promise. Don't go in the way of them. He had his plans already set up. Now, show you this in Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This mystery, what is this mystery? It's that we ungodly Gentiles can be saved into the same body as those Gentiles that was in the covenants of promise who blessed the seed of Abraham. The Acts ministry Gentiles. That remnant by the election of grace. Now, the fellowship of the mystery was not something that was written in Scripture. It wasn't even hidden in Scripture or otherwise. Where was it hid? In God, not in the Scriptures. It's not like Isaiah 53 that was written and it was kept secret. This was hid in God before the foundation of the world. Now, can you look at, I've told you this, but I go back over to Ephesians 3:8 real quick. I just want to emphasize this. Paul, in Ephesians 3:8 again, and I just told you, but he refers to it, read it again, would you? This grace. I want you to see that word, this grace. That's grace now that he has got from future revelations to preach to us ungodly Gentiles that could not be saved any other way. That's what it is, this grace. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Remember, this is a pre-prison epistle. It's in the book of Acts. Now we, brethren, Paul's talking here, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. He's just telling you, you Galatians, you're the children of promise, just like we are. Just like Isaac was. We're not. That's a true statement right there. But it's not written to us. There's things, and this really gets down into it. You won't find this in a lot of different churches that go to this depth. You just won't. Because it's confusing to people. You have to go over this over and over and over. Normally they just go over the grace message and you feel good, you leave. I'm talking about grace churches. I ain't criticizing them because that's the number one thing there is the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of the grace of God. But you need to know certain things, like we're not the children of promise. Okay? We're not. The children of promise, of course, that we've talked about in Genesis 12:3, is a promise that God made first to who? Abraham. Then he made it to who? Isaac. Then he made it to who? Jacob? Yeah. The fathers of the nation of Israel. Yes. We, as the Ephesians and Colossians, we are as strangers from the covenants of promise.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you, and join us next week.